Well, good morning to everyone. It's good to see all of you. My wife had hoped to be with me this morning, but she's a little worn out right now. You see, we found our family is, even at our age, our family is growing. Our daughter, who had been serving the Lord in China, came home. And so that added to the number in the household. And then about a week after she came, another young man showed up. And he was a young believer, a young man that she had met in China that had become very, very dear to her. And I discovered just how dear when he said, "I need to talk to you." And I knew this was coming. So we're gaining another son sometime next year. Not only that, but we've got our second grandchild on the way. So, you know, it's just things that just, you know, it's just growing. And the wife was just worn out, you know. So pray for her. She has to live with me. Pray for her. I'll pray a lot. Before we get into the Word, I just wanted to share something with you. And this is exciting. This was so exciting. We've been praying so long for the Congo Swahili Bible, for that next printing. And here it is. There it is. Actually, I want to leave this copy with you because I want you folks to be able to, anytime you want to, I want you to be able to come and see what an answer to prayer looks like. Okay? 47,000 Bibles landed in Congo just a couple months ago. North part of Congo, 30,000 Bibles showed up. And I've got a report. We got this in the mail, in the email this week. And this is a report from Bunia. This is in the northeast Congo. And they're sharing with us about an elders' conference that they had 800 elders, okay, coming together, 800 elders. The assemblies in that area are growing just, they're exploding. Okay, anytime people move, I mean, this is the book of Acts all over again. People move to another area, they start another assembly. It just happens. And the church is growing at a tremendous rate. And they showed some pictures of baptism, also of Bible distribution that they were doing, and there's a picture here of the people with some of the EPI books that they were given, Bibles and hymn books and other books, and I know you can't see this, but I brought some extra copies if you'd like to read this. This was exciting. I was telling somebody at EPI this week, I said, you know, it's kind of like a shot of spiritual adrenaline. I mean, you get something like that, and you say, wow, this is why we do what we do. And you see the looks on their faces, they're just ecstatic. You know, we heard from Dr. Katha, who's the leader of the assemblies over there, and he told us that there was a case where the UN truck was in one of these villages, and they were distributing food, and then one of the truck showed up from the churches with Bibles to distribute, and people were leaving the UN truck, the food truck, and over to the Bibles. They wanted the Bible. And I was just, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting to see what the Lord's doing. And one of the things that we are working on, we're trying to help them out with, in this community, they're called Emmanuel Community, in the assemblies there in northeast Congo, there are over 60,000 children. 60,000. And there really are no materials available for those children. So we're working on a project to get some French Sunday school material over there. Most of the children in school study French. And then we're looking to get a lot of this material translated into Swahili so they can share that with the children. Just real quickly, just want to tell you about a new book that we have. And this is What is the Christian Faith by Randy Amos. What is the Christian Faith? And the subtitle is If All We Had Was the Bible. Remember the early church, that was all they had, was the Bible. And so an excellent little book, especially for a new believer, What is the Christian Faith? And also, I just want to mention just real quick, our Bible study series, commentaries on every book in the Bible, an excellent resource for younger believers. Maybe next week I can tell you a story of my experience with someone giving me a book that was way too advanced for me when I was 17 years old. I could not get through it to save my life. But something like this that was written so a person can understand it, I would have loved to have had something like that. So maybe we can talk a little bit more about that. But I want to get into the Word because I want to talk with you this morning. I want to share with you. I want to talk about the Lord. And I want to talk about the Lord Jesus. I want to share with you one of my favorite stories from the New Testament. Because to me, this story epitomizes, if I had to sum up who the Lord Jesus is, what he's done. If I had to sum all that up in one sentence, actually in five words, it would be in this story. Now you think about what, if you're going to define him, you know, how would you do it? You could say, well, he's fully God, fully man. We know that from Scripture. We know about the finished work at the cross. We know about the resurrection. But, you know, if I'm going to define him, I'm going to think of, first of all, three words. Jesus, his person, and his word, loves, his death, burial, resurrection, his high priestly ministry, and then me. Jesus loves me. I had a book at home. Actually, I don't know. I think it was at my parents' house years ago. I remember growing up and seeing this book, and it was some illustrations by Charles Schulz, who's the one who wrote the Peanuts comic strip. And in this, there was one little cartoon, and it showed two little boys, two little Sunday school boys, just about what we had here earlier. And they're looking out the window, and one of them looks at the other one, and he says, you know, we were singing Jesus Loves Me when all of a sudden it hit me. Jesus loves me. Me. Completely worthless old me. Little five-year-old boy saying that, but you know, that's true. That's the essence of it, is coming to grips with that, understanding that, reveling in that fact that Jesus loves me. For God so loved the world, that's a wonderful verse, it's very true, but you know what, we need to remember and never let go of the fact that Jesus loves me. Me. He knows exactly who I am. He knows the very number of hairs on my head. He knows everything about me, and he loves me. Now, the story, I want to read this to you. This is told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels. And I'm going to read it to you in all three. It's a very short story, but I want you to get the perspective of these three different writers. And the first is in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1 says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then in Mark chapter 1, it's recounted this way. Now a leper came to him, verse 40, Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And then Luke chapter 5, verse 12, says, and it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus and fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. So here comes a leper. Leprosy, as it was and is a terrible disease. It's a little bit different. What we see in the Bible is a little bit different from what they call leprosy today, but it was a very disfiguring disease. It was highly contagious. Those who contracted leprosy were ostracized. They were isolated and they were ostracized by society. It says in Leviticus chapter 13, now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. Everywhere he goes, he has to cry out, unclean, unclean. And he shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So you get the picture here. If someone had leprosy, if you were diagnosed with leprosy, you were immediately moved out of town. You stayed out of town. No one could come near you. Nobody wanted to come near you. You were bad news. You were a source of great fear. And because of that, that's why leprosy is a picture of sin, because sin causes separation. It causes separation from God's people and separation from God's worship. A leper could not come to the tabernacle. He couldn't come to the feasts. He couldn't come to anything that had to do with the worship of God in Israel. He had to be outside the camp. Maybe if the winds were right and the conditions were right, he could hear just a little bit of what was going on, but that was it. And leprosy was humanly incurable. The Levitical law provided only for the diagnosis of the infection and then only for the lack thereof. So someone who was cleansed of leprosy, they knew that something supernatural had taken place. They knew there had been a healing. Medically, there was nothing they could do. Now, this man, it says he was full of leprosy. He didn't have just a slight case of it. He had a bad case of it. Now, all of us have a bad case of sin. We were born with a bad case of sin. And some of us, maybe because of what sin had done to us, sometimes that sin is a bit more visible, or the effects are obvious. But all of us were born with a bad case of sin. And this leper, you can picture him. I like to picture him coming up. When he came running up, he comes running up to the Lord Jesus, and the crowd scattered. All those that were around the Lord Jesus would have just scattered. They would have gotten back as far as they could, definitely upwind. You definitely wanted to be upwind. So here comes this person. He comes running up to the Lord Jesus. The crowd, the disciples, everyone, they pull back. They scatter. And this leper comes, and it says that he worshiped. He prostrated himself. He implored. He got down on his face in the attitude of worship, and he brought his petition. He came in the way that all sinners must come to the Lord Jesus, coming humbly and depending on the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus. And he came to him, and he says, first of all, he says, Lord. Lord. And it's interesting, the word he's using here means one who is supreme in authority. Now, I was wondering as I was studying this, that was the leper acknowledging the deity of the Lord Jesus? Because he does not refer to him as rabbi, which often they did, or teacher, or master. But he calls him Lord. And I think that he was. Because he knew that leprosy was not humanly curable. And he knew that the Spirit of God had borne witness with his spirit. The Spirit of God working in his heart told me, there's Jesus. You go talk to him. He can help. No one else can, but he can help. He didn't know how the Lord Jesus could help. But I think the Spirit motivated him, kind of pushed him a little bit, you might say, to go talk to the Lord Jesus. Knew that Jesus was God and therefore able to heal. And he comes to the Lord Jesus and he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing. He's not at all concerned with whether or not Jesus is able to. He's convinced in his heart that the Lord Jesus is able. But what he's asking the Lord, what he's saying is, if you are willing, if you're willing, if you want to, you can make me clean. This is what the theologians would refer to as saving faith. He's assured of the ability, the authority of the Lord Jesus. He's appealing to the will of the Lord Jesus. And John chapter 6, verse 37 tells us that all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Then the Lord Jesus. And I love this. And here's what, you know, if you want to know five words that describe the Lord Jesus, here it is. It says, the Lord Jesus, moved with compassion, said, I am willing, be cleansed. First of all, you know, it says that the Lord Jesus was moved with compassion. And literally what the term here means, it talks about you, literally the bowels yearn. It's something, have you ever had something that you just felt right from the very depths of your being? Either, you know, an emotion or a feeling, something that comes just right from the very depths of your being. Jesus was moved with compassion. Everyone else is keeping their distance, but the Lord Jesus is moved with compassion. He was compelled from the depths of his being, the very core, the very essence of his character, because we know that the Scripture tells us that God is love. We were thinking about this morning in our remembrance meeting about the love of God. And I think that's something that is so important for us to just to sit and to contemplate. If you want a definition of love, look at the Lord Jesus. If you want an example, look at the Lord Jesus. If you want a definition, look at the Lord Jesus. He is love. He is love. He was not moved with any other emotion at this point. It wasn't his holiness, wasn't his righteousness, but he's moved with compassion. And don't we see that in how the Lord has dealt with us? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, one of my favorite verses says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Ephesians chapter 2 says, but God. The story in the gospel says, then Jesus. The leper comes running up. He falls down. He says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus. But God. Because of his great love to us, just as he was moved with compassion towards that leper, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, even this man who is full of leprosy, probably lived for many years outside the camp, the Lord Jesus reaches out. The Lord Jesus responds to him in love. In fact, not only that, but it says that the Lord Jesus stretched and put out his hand and touched him. Well, we know from Scripture that the Lord Jesus did not have to touch someone to heal them. We saw that in the healing of the centurion servant in Matthew chapter 8. But this bore witness of his compassion, because that leper had likely not felt a human touch, compassionate or otherwise, since he contracted the disease. He hadn't felt a human touch in any way, shape, or form. And now here is someone who is reaching out and touching him. And I don't think this was just, you know, sticking out of the finger, leaning way over and just touching him. I have a feeling the Lord Jesus came up to him and just hugged him. Just wrapped his arms around him and hugged him. And you can hear the crowd, when the Lord Jesus does that, you can hear the crowd just, oh, he's a dead man. He's going to get leprosy. This is it. But the Lord Jesus reached out, grabbed onto him, and held on, hugged him. What happened when, remember the story of the prodigal son? The prodigal son, he's on his way home, and the father just happens to be looking out the window and sees him far off and comes running down the road. And it says that he grabbed him, he embraced him, he fell on his neck and kissed him. That's not a handshake. That's not a wave. That's touching. Okay. Showed how willing the Lord Jesus was. This was a deliberate and a conscious act. And it was evidence, too, of his ability and his authority, because only somebody with the ability, the authority to heal, could take a leper, could touch a leper in that way without any fear of contracting the disease. And I think, too, this is a manifestation, a beautiful picture of the love of the Lord Jesus, because, and I say this reverently, I think that his touch was almost an instinctive response. If the Lord Jesus could do anything without thinking, I think this would be it. Just grabbed him and just hugged him. And then he says to him, I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. Now it seems like this, when it says, I am, I believe in the Authorized or the King James, it translates it as I will. But it almost seems that in saying I am, you've got another name or an expansion of the great name of God. Remember in Exodus chapter 3, I believe it is, when Moses says to the Lord, who shall I say has sent me? What's your name? And the Lord says, I am that I am. Well, look at this. The Lord Jesus saying, I am willing. I am willing. I think you have there a wonderful description of the heart and the attributes of the Lord Jesus. This is what makes him so unique from any other God, from any other person, any other prophet, any other religion, is that it's the Lord Jesus alone who says, I am willing. I'm willing. We know that he can, but being able to and being willing to are two different things. Vastly different. And the Lord Jesus is saying, I am willing. He's saying, not only do I have the authority, but I have the desire. I have the desire to heal you. The Lord Jesus here, as in elsewhere, he gives a verbal declaration of his authority, and then he gives a vivid demonstration. You remember the story in Matthew chapter 9 when the men bring the paralytic to the Lord Jesus, and this is the one where they climb up on the roof, and they actually open up the roof, and picture that. Whenever you hear this story, picture that happening right here at the chapel. Can you imagine right now while I'm speaking, all of a sudden we heard the sound of hammers and saws and whatnot, and here's a hole being cut right through the roof. And they lower this man down on a stretcher right in front of the Lord Jesus, and what does he say? He says, your sins are forgiven. Now, he has a verbal declaration of the authority that he has. Yes, he could say that. He could look at that man and he could say, you know what? All the sins that you've ever committed, all right, now I am aware of them, and I'm adding them to the list of those that I'm going to bear in my own body at the cross. That's what he says. But then to prove to them that he had the authority to say that, he tells this man, rise, take up your bed and walk. Go ahead. Take up your bed and walk. He says that to this leper. I am willing, be cleansed. If he had said that and that leper was not cleansed, would anyone have believed that he had the authority to do that? No. If the Lord Jesus had contracted leprosy within the next few weeks, would anyone have believed him? No. But to show that he had the authority, that what he was saying was true, he healed. And you know, the Lord Jesus rarely stated his will. He rarely stated what he wanted. Now, he often talked about what the Father's will was. But here's one of the few occasions where he does state his will. But you know, there were times when the Lord Jesus was not willing. He was not willing. When Herod heard that the Lord Jesus had been arrested by Pilate. Now Herod was very excited because he had heard about Jesus, and he wanted to see a miracle. He wanted to see a miracle. Now, he didn't want to see it because he was questioning in his heart because there was any need on his part that he saw. He wanted to be entertained. He wanted to see a show. And so when he asked for a miracle, the Lord Jesus is not willing. Luke chapter 18, you have the story of the Pharisee and the publican. They're coming up to the temple. You remember in the Pharisee, he's saying, Lord, I am such a wonderful person. I keep the law. I fast twice a week. I do this, I do this, I do this. And the Lord says, of these two men, this Pharisee did not go down to his house justified. Why? Because the one that he wanted to worship was himself. He was offering himself for worship. Blind Bartimaeus. I love the story of blind Bartimaeus, the way he's there on the road and he hears the sound of a crowd going by and he asks, what's going on? Who is this? And they mention that it's Jesus, and he just cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he cries out louder and louder, and he will not be quiet. And out of all that tumult, out of all that people, out of all that confusion, the Lord hears him and the Lord comes back to him. Comes back to him and goes, what's he saying? Jesus, Son of David, God, have mercy on me. I don't know what you can do. I don't know how you can do it. But I know you can. I know you can help. I know whatever it is that I need, you know what it is. And you can meet that need. What other savior, what other prophet, what other religion is there whose stated will is to show compassion on an individual based on that Savior, that prophet, that religion, that God's moral character? What other man, what other God says to humankind, I am willing to show you love. And I'm willing to show you love that, you know, even though you don't do the right things, you don't say the right things, your heart is desperately wicked, I am willing. Only the Lord Jesus does that. Only the Lord Jesus says to a sinner, I am willing, be cleansed. You know, I can guarantee you that if any of us had been there on that mountainside that day when that leper ran up, we would have been just like the rest of that crowd. We would have pulled back. If we had the children with us, we would have tried to cover them up. We would have tried to protect them. We wouldn't come near that person. Show him compassion? No, I'm sorry. He's beyond our help. There's nothing we can do. In fact, we'd rather not see him, because if we don't see him, then we don't have to think about him. But the Lord Jesus would not leave that man alone. And he looks at him and says, I am willing, be. Be. That's all he had to say. Here's the one who spoke creation into existence. He's the one that could calm a stormy sea with just three words. He could heal a paralytic. And he could forgive. Remember the adulterous woman in John chapter 8 comes to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus, that's the time that he writes on the ground. And after everyone has left, he stands up and he says, where are your accusers? Who condemns you? She says, no one. He said, to me, this is the definition of mercy. Neither do I condemn you. The one person who had the moral right and authority to condemn that woman said, I'm not going to do it. What I am going to do is I'm going to take that sin that you've committed, and everyone knew she was guilty. I'm going to take that sin consciously upon myself, and I'm going to take it to the cross, and I'm going to pay for it. That stoning that you deserved, I'm going to take that punishment for you. I am willing. Be cleansed. Be cleansed. Here's a man who had leprosy. One second he had leprosy, the next second he did not. And everyone around could see. Remember, this is a man who's full of leprosy. Leprosy being a very disfiguring disease. All of a sudden, he does not have leprosy. And they could see that. He was cleansed. Now, the thing with leprosy, though, is leprosy could come back. But when the Lord Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, that penalty is not coming back. When the Lord Jesus forgives for sin, that sin is paid for. I want to read to you some words that you've heard before. Beautiful words from Scripture. You'll know as soon as I start reading where it's found. But I just want you to listen. Just to listen and think about this Jesus, this Lord Jesus, who would say, I am willing, be cleansed. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then they would have ceased. For then would they have not ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. This is the one who said, I am willing, be cleansed. I'd just like to share with you also some words from an old hymn. You may have heard the hymn. Sometimes when we sing a hymn, we sing it and we don't really think of the words. So I just want to read these words to you. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy. weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Come, ye thirsty, come and welcome God's free bounty, glorify. True belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh. Come, ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. View him prostrate in the garden. On the ground your Maker lies. On the bloody tree behold him. Sinner, will this not suffice? Lo, the incarnate God ascended, pleads the merit of his blood. Venture on him, venture wholly. Let no other trust intrude. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. You want to know the defining characteristic of the Lord Jesus? Go find a cleansed leper and ask them. They'll tell you. If you are willing, you can make me clean. I am willing. Be cleansed. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that he was willing. And Father, we thank you that anyone who comes to him, even this morning, and says to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean, he will accept them. He will cleanse them. Father, I pray that there would be none here who would, as the writer of that hymn said, tarry until they think they're better, or tarry for any reason. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that he loves each and every one of us. And we can revel in that knowledge. Father, help us to take time each day just to be quiet before you and to let you love us, to think on your love, to think on the fact that one day, very soon, maybe even today, our faith will be replaced with sight, and we will see him face to face. Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you that he is love itself. We thank you, Father, and ask that you would continue to be pleased to show us that love every day. Help us, Father, to love the Lord Jesus more and more. Help us to show that love, to proclaim that love to others. Father, so many people in this world have no clue that there is a God who loves them. Father, we thank you and praise you for being so good to us, and we pray these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.